This is the TV Dudes, recorded on April 1st, episode 26, April Showers.
So, Randy, I hear you got some big news for us.
Is it big news? It might be big news.
It's kind of big news.
I think it's huge news.
So, for the longest time, we've been talking about cutting the cord.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest thing holding me back is this podcast, because I want to be able to keep up on TV.
Yeah.
So, that's a big thing. And I've been looking at the money, and I was like, you know, I've watched so many shows, it doesn't make sense for me.
Mm-hmm.
But then they made a couple of big announcements recently, which we've talked about. Mm-hmm. The HBO Now is a big one. Mm-hmm. HBO Now is $15 a month. HBO through AT&T is $16 a month.
Yeah.
And my wife was wondering if they did that on purpose. Like, it's a dollar cheaper, and it's all the same stuff. So I started doing the math, and I started looking, and a lot of my shows are ending. Justified's going to be over. Arrow and Flash are both over for the season. And I think I got a date to cut the cord in May.
Wow.
Wow. So you're not going to have FX?
Well, here's the thing.
You have to watch that like a day later?
No, yeah, I'm going to watch it a day later, but that doesn't matter. With the DVR, I'm watching most of my stuff a day later, if not more than that.
Okay.
Like Americans, I caught up on, you know, I had like seven of them saved.
Right.
So I'm not always watching
live. But FX comes on the Apple TV as well?
No.
No.
You buy it from Amazon, you buy a season pass, and you stream it. And here's the deal. Those season passes cost anywhere from, you know, for a shorter show, it's like $24.25/$25.99.
Wow.
Some of the comedies, like You're the Worst, the 10 episode shows are $19.99.
But that's for one show.
No, that's for one show, per show.
One season, yeah.
So that's the math.
Or is that the entire series?
That's the show. That's the season.
Yeah.
I did the math, and my cost on TV from AT&T is like, with taxes and fees and all this other stuff, it's like $100 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And my cost for buying all, just if I look at the shows that are coming on this year that I know about, like Louis, Fargo, Hannibal, Key and Peele, You're the Worst, and Rick and Morty.
Powers.
just those,
yeah. Right.
The ones that are going to be the rest of this year.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at the math, and it was like $150. That's less than 2 months with the cable.
Yeah.
Right.
So it doesn't make any sense. Even if I'm wrong, even if I'm underestimating.
How much do you have to pay for Apple TV?
Apple TV is free.
You
buy the box,
which is like $79, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's $69.
Okay, because I have a Roku, which is kind of similar. Yeah.
Very similar. And except you have to have an Apple TV for HBO.
Yeah.
I was kind of glad I got an Apple TV because they also have the Yahoo Screen app.
Right.
Which I think the Roku might have too.
Well, it is. You can download it. Like I've got it on my phone.
Yeah.
So you can download that for free and watch stuff for free in there.
So I did the math on this and just basically getting some of the shows I know I want. And there's a few that I'm like, okay, well, I don't watch these live anyway, so I'm going to let, say, Bob's Burgers and Archer and even It's Always Sunny and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., some of the ones that I watch, and let them slip to watching on Netflix. So I'll be basically like a season behind on some of them.
Uh-huh.
Not all of them.
Yeah.
But like, I can wait on Archer. I don't know that I'll be able to wait on Always Sunny. I'll probably keep buying it.
This is interesting. So yeah. I guess what this means is, Greg, we need to get a third person the TV Dudes. Yeah.
No, I'll still be.
You're out, buddy.
I'll still be like a day behind at worst.
You'll still be probably more caught up than with the baby. I can never watch TV anymore.
I'll be caught up on most everything.
Yeah.
So, and then if there's something we want to talk about, I'll always can buy an episode.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And watch that and be like, okay, well, then I'll buy the rest whenever I want, or I'll watch the rest. So I'm going to try it. It's an experiment. I may go running back to cable in like 2 months.
Yeah. I'm very interested to see how this plays out.
I'm going to try this out.
Well, you know what could work in your favor, too, is if you do this, and by the time you're like, I don't know if I'm going to deal with this, finally the Google Fiber comes up here, or UVerse Gigapower comes up here.
Yeah,
you know, that could be a game changer,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, exactly. There'll be another chance to try. I'm holding out for Google Fiber. I think it's going to hit up here this year, maybe this summer, maybe later this year.
Yeah,
we're in the zone.
Yeah, I've been looking for that and Gigapower because I'm like, I'm tired of my, I mean, I want to be able to, the fast download stuff.
Yeah.
I'm tired of this, you know, my DSL shit or whatever.
So, bold experiment.
Very exciting.
I like that.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the TV Dudes. I'm Grant Davis, and with me is
Gregory J. Amani Smith, Mr. Whatever. I don't know. I can't roll off
Mr. Kindergarten Bassist or something.
Yeah, I can't roll off all the other names people have for me. But yeah, there you go.
Is Kindergarten Bassist the sequel to Kindergarten?
It is. Yeah,
it should be.
I don't play the E string. I don't have a tumor.
Sorry. And our cord cutter.
And yeah. Randy Lander, cord cutter of the Stars.
Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah, I like that.
So this week is April showers. We're discussing a whole bunch of the deluge of new April shows popping up.
And news.
Wait.
Flood of news, flood of shows.
By the way, so you're going to cut AMC while Mad Men
will be over.
Oh, so that is that kind of...
Mad
Men
is one of the... Yeah.
Okay, that gear you're cutting. Okay.
Mad Men is over. Sense. I think it's on May 19th.
Yeah, okay. All right.
But what about Hell on Wheels?
What about Hell
What
on
about
Wheels?
Turn?
Is that still around?
What about Tyrant is what coming back? Halt and Catch Fire.
All right. Well, let's jump over to talking about our iTunes shout-out. So these people went to the iTunes store. Hopefully, if you're listening to us, you've gone there as well and given us a 5-star rating and review. If you haven't done that, please go do it. It really helps out the show.
Yes,
and we
please.
Will read those reviews on the episode, which we got two right here. First one comes from APT342, which may sound familiar to you guys because previously he'd given us a 3-star rating and we were a little grumpy about it, perhaps.
A little.
But I guess we've won him over because we got a 5-star rating now. And it says, keep up the great work.
So we just keep bitching until we get 5-star ratings?
I don't know. Maybe we kind of cleaned up our act.
You know what? He likes brutal honesty. That's what he likes.
That's what it is. We won him over with our dickishness.
And we brutal honesty and peevishness.
Yeah.
That's what you get from the TV dude.
It may be because Empire has turned into such a phenomenon. Maybe you have to start watching it.
Yeah. You have to get on that, Greg.
Yeah. Okay. Wait, now why you say that?
Because you're black.
What's up with that, man?
Oh, wait.
Great run the air. Great run the air.
Two on the nose.
Grant, you're going to get in some trouble. You can't tweet that kind of stuff.
Hey, we'll get to the news in a second. All right, our next one comes from Mr. Chiron Morningstar. This is from Canada, and he says, filling the void. Ever since the end of Spill.com, there's been a wide gap of content that needed to be filled with TV. And
he says, well, the TV dudes started before Spill ended. It now fills the void caused by the mass Spill implosion.
Grant is especially funny. Greg is hilarious. And I can't remember the third guy's name.
Ouch.
It was on Leog.
That's cold, man.
He says it's a must listen for all the Spill fans.
Yeah, for that third guy, that kind of guy. I can't remember his name. Yeah.
See, I love that because Greg, you've been the guy cut out of too many of these reviews. They're like, Greg and Grant or Greg and Randy or Grant and Randy are great.
Yeah. Or Neil. They used to call Johnny Neil.
Yeah.
Neil.
Yeah. I think this is my first snub, and I appreciate it.
You've gone somewhere when you've been snubbed. You know you've arrived when you've been snubbed.
But thank you guys both for those shout outs. We appreciate
funny.
It. Please give us some more, guys. Send them in to just on the iTunes store. Go check it out. Also, you can put them in Stitcher if you mm-hmm. want. I check that occasionally.
Yeah.
And it's really filling up with none. I guess maybe people aren't using Stitcher. I don't know. News?
News.
Yes. News. Let's do some news.
All right. So there is some news, and I'm going to start with the big one because that's going to get us some discussion.
Yes.
What I was alluding to is that the Daily Show host, they have confirmed Trevor Noah.
That new guy?
The new guy who's been on exactly three shows.
Yeah.
And he's from South Africa.
11 weeks.
I believe he's got a German father, South African mother.
Mm-hmm. Swiss.
Swiss. Mm-hmm. Swiss, German, whatever.
He says one of his famous jokes is he was born a crime. Because I guess it was a crime.
Yeah, it was illegal in South Africa.
Yeah.
Right. He's 31 years old. He was actually started to make a name for himself in the international comedy scene. He had a radio show in South Africa, I understand.
He had he had something akin to kind of like The Daily Show, but for South Africa that he was hosting for a little bit.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And no sooner did he get confirmation that he was getting this job that somebody found a bunch of his old tweets.
Yeah.
Well.
And he's got some where he's made some off-color jokes.
Yep.
I suppose.
Because nobody else has done that.
Some offended, that could be anti-Semitic.
He offended atheists, feminists, Jews. He offended atheists, feminists, and the Jews, I believe.
Yeah. There might have been a couple other groups here and there.
Yeah. Pretty good cross-section.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know. What do you guys think of this?
You know, I posted about this, and I said I thought it was kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
To see, both to see the sort of a, you know, see someone sort of out of touch is what it felt like. And I was like, it was a little weird to see from a guy who I assume is going to be taking over this post.
Yeah.
But also, it was years ago. And it was on Twitter. It's a comedian on Twitter.
How old is What's this guy now? He's 31. And so he did this about when he was like mid-20s.
He could have been drunk or high or both.
Or a comedian.
Or a comedian who was drunk and high or both.
Trying to make jokes. And I'm of the opinion that this is silly journalism.
Yeah.
I think this is just, it's a hit piece.
Yeah, gotcha journalism. Yeah.
It is, though, because... You take something that someone's trying to obviously put out there to make a joke, see what kind of replies, feedback they get.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's hit, sometimes it's miss.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a hungry young comedian, and this is also such a product of that younger generation that we're going to be seeing this more and more. That you do stuff, and it's documented for everyone else to see.
It's funny.
It's hard to find this on like John Stewart.
You mean
when
like
he
was the
30.
Congressman who just lost his job because of Instagram?
Yeah.
But that one was hilarious.
That was funny. Oh, it's like, okay, so this on Facebook, I made a comment about about Wolfgang Van Halen, who is a big dude, is a big fat dude. And I was like, man, because Eddie Van Halen and Valerie Bertinelli are small, very small people. And he is like, got that overindulgent, like...
Are they all related?
They're, well...
This should be common knowledge.
Is Wolfgang Van Halen his son?
Yes. They kicked out Michael Anthony and put him in it. They just played Jimmy Kimmel, which was actually their first live television as a band. They never played live on TV before. So anyway, but I put it on somebody's Facebook, and I
He's
said...
He's an overweight person?
Yeah, but he was like... But, yeah, it's just a little joke. Like, man, it's because I was just like, man, from those two small people, they got that big ass dude, you know, something like that. It wasn't even just, I mean, it was just like, whatever.
Yeah.
But you know, people are like, oh, really, really? I'm like,
you weren't saying it was a bad thing. You're just saying, look, it's a big dude.
I'm shocked because I've been in presence with Valerie Bertinelli. He's a very small woman. Eddie's not a big guy. I'm like, man, that's a big dude.
Well, like you said, he must have eaten Michael Van Halen.
Well, something like that. But
maybe,
who cares?
Maybe.
he's his only child, rich fat kid who has a lot of fucking money. Who plays? Maybe his mind up a little bit. Yeah, he plays bass. And he's making way more money than I will ever make in my life. And I'm 30 times a bass player. Yeah. So and he looks like it. But that's gonna come up to bite me in case Eddie say, you know, I'm gonna audition some bass players. He'll say, hey, did you make fun of my kid once? And I'll say,
Your kid's fat.
Your kid's fat. And I was wrong.
Like, that's fair.
It's true.
So it all comes back. It all comes back to us. But does it really matter? Does it really have what's in our hearts? No. And with this guy, and one of the same pieces they had with him, they showed his other tweets when he was responding to racism that were really funny, really poignant, and really good. And I'm like, you know, you're going to pick out a couple little things for a guy who overall seems to be an okay guy.
And you have to dig back years to try and find some stuff to try and drag someone through the mud. I'm like,
And actually, Randy has an excellent conspiracy theory about this. And I actually really enjoyed what you said about it.
Yeah, I've noticed this is going on. It's something like whenever this has happened, sort of the people from the left. It happened with Comic Alliance. They have one of their guys that sort of bullied a woman years ago. And this is not an excuse, by the way. It's still a shitty thing for him to have done.
Right.
Sure.
But it was basically some of the right-wing guys who don't like their liberal agenda go out and find hypocrisy in their past and then drag it out so that the liberal base will go after him.
Yeah, I think this is kind of done on both sides, honestly.
Well, the difference is that with conservatives,
the people,
you don't have to go in the past. They just keep doing it over and over again.
The other difference with the conservatives is that you could point out something that, like, oh, no, look what they did, and they'd be like, so?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But liberals will shoot themselves in the foot.
The conservatives will close ranks.
Yeah.
And the liberals, we will tear ourselves apart.
Right.
Cut off our nose to spite our face.
Yeah,
right.
And that's what this is. This is silly. The guy hasn't even got the job yet. If you're trying to get him to lose the job off a couple of tweets, you're a dick.
Yeah. It was interesting to see what's his name? Patton Oswalt did this big, long rant about it.
Well, this is one of Patton Oswalt's trigger buttons.
Yeah, he does not
like this.
Well, because it's like you're... Now we're attacking comics for being funny and every little joke being un-PC. Like, if you go back... Listen, Lenny Bruce, listen to early George Carlin, listen to Richard Pryor stuff. They said crazy shit all the time. Yeah. That was funny. Paul, if you go listen to Paul, oh my God, I'm totally zailing his name. Paul, the guy who wrote for Eddie.
Paul Mooney,
yeah. Who says the most insane shit ever.
Yeah.
But
I noticed you didn't throw Bill Cosby in that list.
Well, and he did the most insane shit ever.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Well, Bill Cosby can't make rape jokes.
Yeah,
that's true. He can't make jokes of anything right now.
No. He used to make some Spanish fly jokes. Right?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, well,
if you're a guy like Patton Oswalt, who's basically a decent guy, you can joke about just about anything. If you're Louis C.K., you can joke about just about anything.
Yeah,
because you've proven to be a decent human being in other parts of your life.
But it's,
Tosh, he apparently couldn't. Daniel Tosh
and Patton Oswalt got pissed about that too.
Yeah.
He's like, look, you've got to let comedians do. You
he was
can't
also
be offended
dealing with
by
a heckler,
things.
I think, and just kind of went a little bit overboard.
Yeah. Like
and
Michael Richards,
that happens a
Michael
lot. Richards with hecklers.
Too, yeah.
But even then, after time, I mean, Michael Richards answers that beautifully in that Curb Your Enthusiasm when it was.
Yeah, but he's still.
It was
kind of burned in the community, I think.
Yeah, but it was
not really poking his head out anymore.
No, well, he wasn't. He never did stand up. He was just trying to get out.
When you do things, there's making jokes that aren't funny, and there's making jokes that go a little far and reveal something ugly about yourself.
Right,
and that's kind of what his thing was.
I don't think it. Okay, I didn't take it. I just thought they were bad jokes. I didn't take it as him revealing this really ugly streak in him. That's
I don't know. I think being willing to throw that word out as frequently as he did is an uncomfortable thing. I think that was the thing. But yeah, you're right. He got sort of burned at the stake for something that was not that big a deal.
And the other thing about it is that it's not like he was pious and say, well, I would never do this, and this is a great honor, and I uphold the tradition of treating people fairly. He never said any shit like that.
No.
He just kind of let it lie, and then somebody went and did something. So, and that's again another difference with conservatives is that they always are pious. Like, I would never sleep with a man
until I got caught.
But then Jesus had to save me, you know. But so that's part of the problem.
So we're talking about politics, gender issues.
Yes.
Is there any other hot buttons we need to
race,
get on right now?
We talking about race.
Have we got any listeners left?
can we talk about class warfare?
Class about class warfare, white
just
privilege.
Thinking though that. It's okay to be offended.
Yeah.
And I think a lot
Absolutely.
Of people kind
of, course.
Of, we're getting like so sensitive that we think, no, don't offend me. It's like, no, you're allowed to be offended by something. Go ahead and be offended. But quit being a bitch about it.
Yeah, call him a douchebag. Yeah. Feel free. Like, tweet
be,
at him. And,
be
yeah.
offended and just
move
just
on.
Be offended.
Move on.
In fact, I like a lot of jokes because they're offensive to someone.
Sometimes
they're offensive to me, and I can laugh at myself.
Yeah, if you want to say, oh, that was beyond the pale for me, I'm not going to watch The Daily Show with this guy, that's fair. It seems a little silly to me, but that's fair. But if you're like, oh, he should not have said that, they shouldn't give him this job, it's beyond the pale.
Yeah. Tough luck.
And let's put it in perspective, folks. He's a comedian reading TV news. He's not a politician. He's not making policy.
You know, I'd argue the Daily Show is more important than that.
Well, yes, but...
It's one of the most important news
It's important.
Figures,
yeah,
you know.
It's important,
important
but it's not...
Stuart shaped it into something much bigger.
I know,
than
but it's still not like
he's not running the country.
He's not barring. He's not putting laws in Indiana that openly discriminate.
We don't
people.
Know that,
Trevor. What
Trevor,
are you up to?
Why did you sign that law, Trevor?
So overall, let's kind of rewind, I guess.
Yeah.
And what do you guys think of Noah Trevor as the
Trevor
new
Noah.
Guy, Trevor Noah?
I think he's got two first names, and that's not going to work.
Yeah, this is very...
I mean, two first
names. John Stewart, though.
Here's the thing. My honest reaction was, I would have rather had Aisha Tyler, who was never going to take the show. I understand. She's in L.A.
You
she's
think?
Busy. She was never going to take the show.
No. She's got a good life.
But having now seen who they picked, seeing Trevor Noah, I think he's going to do a good job. However, I would rather have had Jessica Williams, who I was against because I thought she was too young and unseasoned. But I don't think she's notably more unseasoned than he is. Mm-hmm. And I think it would have been nice to have a woman on Late Night because they have no women in Late Night except for Chelsea Handler, which doesn't really count because she's not funny.
I think, I mean, it's interesting that he's black, he's South African.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an international audience. He's going to be kind of alongside Larry Wilmore.
Yeah.
And he's actually the bridge between Larry Wilmore and John Oliver.
Yeah.
He's international.
Yeah.
He's ethnic. and Larry, I know I haven't watched Larry Wilmore. I haven't watched his show. I don't know if it's gotten any better or if they've worked the kinks out. But we all know John Oliver is kicking ass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So maybe, you know, it'll be interesting to see
where he wants to kind of align himself.
Yeah,
as far as format.
Yeah. So. I don't know. I just looked at it as like, yeah, okay, I'll give him a shot. I don't, you know.
Here's the other thing for me. No one was going to top Jon Stewart for me. I love Jon Stewart in The Daily Show. I'm really not happy about going into an election year without Jon Stewart heading it. Mm. And no matter who they picked, if they'd gotten Tina Fey and Amy Poehler to do it together, I wouldn't have been as happy as having Jon Stewart do it.
You know, I think it is interesting, though, that they are going to potentially, they haven't announced a date yet, I guess.
Yeah.
But they're going to have a new person in right for the next election. And that could be very pivotal for them as well. Yeah. Like, this is a way to really make myself. And I kind of hope that to see a little bit of format changes.
It's going to have to. It can't be the same show. It's going to have to change.
Right.
Just like Jon Stewart changed from Craig Kilborn.
And I wonder what he's going to bring to it.
I don't know.
But it does seem to me. We all kind of know that Rosewater was Jon Stewart obviously getting restless and wanting to kind of go out and do something else creatively.
Yeah.
And I would think that there's a good chance that they actually brought Trevor in knowing that they wanted to groom him for this role.
I think that's probably true. I think he might have been there. That's what he was there for.
He kind of has some of this experience in hosting a show. He's got that young age. He's got a lot of poise as far as the three episodes we've really seen him in. And if you kind of watch some of his comedy bits, I'm like, okay, I see that he seems to have a little bit of this intellectual edge that you want.
Yeah.
So... it's fascinating. So I don't know. Kind of want to see where this goes.
Yeah.
Give him a shot.
All right. So more news.
Mm-hmm.
They have announced the showrunner for Luke Cage, the next show on Netflix.
Ooh.
And it is, how do you pronounce this name? Cheo Hadari Coker. He has been hired as the head writer and the showrunner.
Mm-hmm.
He is previously known from...
Ray Donovan, I guess.
Ray Donovan, yes. Almost Human, Southland. And wrote this article says, underrated movie, Notorious, which I've never seen or heard of.
Oh, wait, Notorious, is that the one about Biggie Smalls?
Maybe?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Yeah.
It's interesting, because it's sort of an outside choice.
Well, okay, wait, the shows he did, like, you guys don't watch Ray Donovan.
No. I loved Almost Human.
Almost Human, Ray Donovan.
So he's not the showrunner for those. This is the first time he's going to be a showrunner and lead writer.
Since he was a major writer on those, though.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that actually... for me, somebody who doesn't know the Luke Cage world that much, it puts a visual in what the show is going to be about. Because, because I mean, if it's going to be,
Luke Cage is a hero for hire. He's a mercenary.
It makes sense, especially with the Ray Donovan thing.
Yeah.
That makes a lot. That makes a lot of sense to me because it's like,
he also in Hell's Kitchen?
I'm sure they're all going to be in Hell's Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In New York, he operates out of like Harlem.
Oh, it was Harlem cool. Initially.
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean. And
70s
kind
Harlem,
of,
yeah.
Right.
He's kind of got, he's really in touch
Shaft.
with
yeah.
the okay. street.
Yeah.
And,
that was just funny the way you said, he's really in touch with the street. That was very funny the way you said
Jason
that.
Street from Friday Night Lights.
I'm just going to back out from it now.
That was funny. No kid.
I just mean like this guy coming from a pedigree of also, I guess, doing the Notorious biopic.
Yeah.
And things of that nature. He's probably got a little bit more background with kind of showing...
with urban stuff.
Urban stuff.
Urban. Those are all those code... that's one of the funny
look,
things.
Look, you guys are getting on me. Let me just speak my mind.
Look, he's black.
The street.
All right?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh,
he's really in touch
know.
With
I don't
the
see
street.
Color. I have Daredevil syndrome.
That was just very funny. I'm sorry.
No, Luke Cage is a good property. He was
it's
Marvel's
cool.
exploitation character.
Cool.
You know,
cool.
they were just like Iron Fist was.
Yeah,
Iron Fist was their kung fu guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be interested because they did a sort of rough
someone
take.
Asian, I guess, for Iron Fist.
People were calling for that.
And it's got to be a lady for Jessica Jones.
Yeah,
one.
I hope so. Well, maybe
it'll
not.
Be Tina Fey.
Yeah.
Tina Fey's going to run Jessica Jones.
The showrunner for Daredevil is actually blind. Terrible choice. I don't know why they did that. It's hard to read his braille.
is he white
That's
and Irish?
Terrible.
Was that there? Like, he's got to be white and he's got to be Irish.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Anyway.
Hey, what's our next bit of news before I offend people, dude?
All right. So there's a rumor that's bullshit, by the way, that Star Trek could return to TV. Somebody made this up, and Latino Review picked it up. This is a bullshit rumor.
You don't think?
It's bullshit.
I mean,
it's already been debunked.
Well,
what?
That Star Trek's going to come
back. But which
back
version of
at
Star
some
Trek?
Point, there are rumors. This came from Latino Review, and they make shit up all the time.
Yeah.
And they did. There was a show called Federation that was going to be sort of a next generation of the Federation. There was a war that had happened, and it was going to change the status quo and all that stuff. That is pretty much definitively dead.
Mm-hmm.
That was with Robert Burnett, Brian Singer, and Christopher McQuarrie. And then there's one that J. Michael Straczynski was involved with, you know, from Babylon 5 and all that kind of stuff.
Mm. Right.
And that is pretty much definitively dead. This was just a rumor that somebody sparked up that, hey, Star Trek might be coming back to TV. It might, but not anymore.
It might also not.
There was a big little firestorm that popped up about, oh, Star Trek's coming back to TV. And it was last for about 6 hours. And then people were like, no, it's not.
Yeah, is it just like a.
Is it just because. Joke? Like I say, was it just because Leonard Nimoy died? Is that why?
You know, the thing is, Star Trek belongs on TV.
Yeah.
It's better on TV than it is in the movies. But they are clearly not working that. There was that rumor that turned out to be made up a few months ago about a medical show that was set on board a Federation medical ship.
Okay.
And I thought that was a cool pitch, but it was made up.
Yeah.
So, and people just like to make up Star Trek news, and I mean, I don't know if they're maybe hoping for that X-Files 2015 thing. Like,
but you're done with it.
I'm done with the news. It's not true. Yeah. I would love there to be Star Trek on TV, but there's no movement on that yet.
What else we got?
Well, we're talking about, I think that the X-Files, remember how X-Files got rebooted because Gillian Anderson and, was it Jimmy Kimmel? Or was it, she was on his show,
mm-hmm.
and they got X-Files 2015 trending.
Oh.
Just as kind of a joke.
Yeah.
And then it became a show. And I think that's what was,
that's power.
I think that's what they were trying to do with Star Trek.
Wow.
But anyway, X-Files is becoming a show. There is a 6-episode limited series featuring Mulder and Scully. They have not given us a date yet, featuring creator Chris Carter. Fox execs are calling it the next thrilling chapter of Mulder and Scully that fans have been waiting for.
That's, are we?
I am.
Are you really eager to see
I'm excited.
This?
You know why? Duchovny's still good. Anderson is great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, on Hannibal, she's been fantastic.
Right.
In the fall,
and Vince Gilligan's coming back for it, right?
And I would actually, I would love it if, who's the guy? Darren Morgan?
Mm-hmm.
The guy, Glenn Morgan? The guy who writes the sort of funny one-off episodes. I hope one of those is his. I hope that he comes back. But 24, Live Another Day was exactly what I wanted out of 24.
Yeah, me too.
It's true.
And
yeah.
This is the same kind of thing. It's like a limited run, greatest hits, all the people you loved doing the show again.
Yeah.
I think
that's actually a good way to kind of keep the show alive for people, to get people into the old episodes,
yeah.
And especially if you have the same kind of framework for the original shows, like the same main stars and probably the same showrunner,
rather than reboot or revival. You know, this is a revival and it's a limited run,
and just do like a continuing story that would make sense for the fans of the show.
My biggest issue, my biggest worry, is Chris Carter. Chris Carter has not made a good show in a long time.
He's the show's worst enemy.
And I saw him interviewed somewhere, maybe HitFix, and he was still in denial, still talking about how The X-Files was better than people give it credit for at the end.
Mm.
He's like, people tell me they went back and watched the whole thing, and they're like, no, you're right, it all hangs together. And I'm like, if you still think that, that's a problem, because no, it doesn't.
Well, he had that other show, The After, for...
got picked up by Amazon and then canceled.
Yeah, it's canceled, kind of.
He has the unhappy distinction of being the only guy Amazon's canceled.
Wow.
Congrats.
Wow, that's terrible.
But, you know, I'd actually be more excited if it wasn't Chris Carter running, if it was one of the other guys.
Yeah.
But
it's
I'm still
a 6-episode.
Sure. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
And what did they say? Where it's going to be on Fox?
Fox. Yeah.
Okay,
it'll be Fox. Fargo has cast its Ronald Reagan.
Oh yeah, this is great.
Oh.
I love this.
And it's the chin, Bruce Campbell.
I love it.
Bruce Campbell
it makes
as
sense.
Reagan.
It's amazing.
It's
that's
perfect.
Beautiful.
Perfect casting.
Yeah,
he's going to ham it up too. So
you know
much.
What? You know what I want? I want them then to do a Bruce Campbell to play Ronald Reagan in the Evil Dead show afterwards. Ronald Reagan versus zombies.
Yeah, is that what you want?
I think that's what I want. After he's done at Fargo, go play Ronald Reagan versus zombies.
I'd watch that.
All right, so here's a spoiler that's not a spoiler.
Yeah.
The Game of Thrones showrunners confirmed that Game of Thrones, the show, is going to spoil George R.R. Martin's books.
Yep.
Of course.
You know why? Because he's not writing the damn books. Yeah, and we all know this.
Right.
I mean, I think he is writing, but just not fast enough. And
he's writing them as fast as I'm writing them.
I mean...
And the last time you wrote one of these books was when?
Randy, your fan fiction is really good.
Right.
Cross your fingers. If he dies, you could be the new writer.
I've written almost as many pages of Game of Thrones this year as George R. R. Martin has.
I think, like, the whole thing with getting caught up in all the events that he's invited to go speak and talk and appear and
Wait.
I think just didn't take the time anymore.
Yeah. Well, I'll just say that was I thought you notoriously were slow with books.
He is.
So I'm gonna say this isn't before the TV show. He was.
But it's made it worse.
He writes very, very expansively, and I mean it was supposed to be a trilogy.
Yep.
And it's already got five books, and it looks like it's gonna be seven or eight. Yeah. It's just nuts.
And here's the thing, I don't care. The TV version is the definitive version for me at this point.
Yeah.
And I feel like George R. R. Martin and some of his book fans have gotten upset about this.
Well.
And they're like, well, slow down and wait for him. I'm like, they can't wait for him.
I guess it was him that was kind of pushing this movie idea as well.
Yeah, he's been hardcore pushing this movie
idea. And they don't want it, the showrunners.
He's been pushing to do it longer. He's like, he says he wants it to be 10 seasons. And the showrunner's like, no, 7.
Yeah. Wow. We're going to do it in 7.
Yeah.
You already gave us your notes. We can wrap this up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I want them to be the guys in charge of it because they have a vision. They're doing it correctly. Mm-hmm. George R. R. Martin may have a vision, but we're never going to see it.
No.
Right.
So I am perfectly okay with this news.
Yeah.
And I guess, I don't know if they were expecting some people to be upset, if this was like leaked by George R. R. Martin and he was kind of hoping that, that people would be upset, but most people I've seen are like, yeah, of course it was going to spoil because you're not writing the books.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this to me is good news that they're okay with this status quo.
I'm very much looking forward to how they finish it instead of
him. Yeah, I can't wait to that.
And finally, a little teaser.
Yeah.
The Walking Dead spinoff has been given a title.
That's right.
Fear the Walking
Dead.
Wait,
did they have a little? They have a little.
They
trailer
had a little
too.
Teaser. There was nothing. It was just some atmosphere shots and voiceover.
Right.
So. I think I initially heard this and I just didn't like it.
Have you gotten on board it?
You mean the name or the idea? The name. The name Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And I think I like it more because I started thinking about like how other zombie movies are named, their conventions. And it's like the Living Dead, Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah, sure.
Kind of stuff like that. I'm like, okay, it's following in that kind of corny vein of Fear the Walking Dead.
It is deliberately corny. I was hoping for something more like Rise of the Walking Dead since it is a prologue.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Because they showed in the teaser.
Rise
they show.
The yes,
it is. They talk about a virus.
The virus is staying inside your house.
Yeah, so we are going to see the outbreak and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess, I mean, I don't know. This it feels like something that's a little cheap about it.
Yeah,
that it's just this spinoff with the same name rather than it can kind of exist as its own entity as well.
Well, remember, Grant, everybody was really up in arms when they got sort of that pulpy title for the Star Wars prequel.
Yeah,
remember everyone was like, "Oh, Phantom Menace, that sounds stupid." And remember how that turned out?
it was stupid. I guess you're right. Better Call Saul, though.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
dynamite.
You never know. I'm still the cast is good here. Kim Dickens being in it alone sells me.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I'm looking forward to it. It's a cheesy title, but not too cheesy for me.
Who cares?
Netflix has a new show, guys.
They do. They've got like 100 of them.
Yeah.
But yeah.
One we're talking about.
What we're talking about now.
Is Mr. Coach is back.
Yes.
Yes.
Kyle Chandler.
Among others. It's a big, expansive cast, but Bloodline is the show we're talking about.
Bloodline.
Sissy Spacek plays sort of the matron of this big Florida Keys family.
Sam Shepard is the patriarch.
Sam Shepard is a patriarch. They run a resort, and they have been for 45 years running this resort.
Wait, Sam Shepard?
Sam Shepard. Yeah.
He's the dad.
Oh, I was thinking Sam Elliott for a second. I was like, that's not Sam Elliott.
No, different.
Yeah.
No mustache.
So they have a resort they've been running in the Florida Keys for the past 45 years. And since this is the 45th year anniversary, they're naming a dock after the father. And all the family comes back to do this big, you know, reunion thing.
Right.
And the family includes, several of the family live there. There's Kyle Chandler, Mr. Coach. Who is John Rayburn, who's also the sheriff in town.
Right.
There's Linda Cardellini, who's his sister, who's a lawyer.
John Rayburn, that's a great name.
Yeah, the Rayburn family is a good name.
Yeah.
And there's
Kevin.
Norbert Leo Butts, mm-hmm. who is Kevin Reborn, Rayburn, who's sort of the hothead of the family.
Yeah.
And I forget what he does in town, but he's still in town.
He does some kind of shipping boating thing.
Yeah, I think he does their boat tours.
The boat tours.
And then there's the black sheep of the family, played by Ben Mendelsohn, Danny Rayburn, mm-hmm. who seems like kind of a criminal scumbag.
He's an addict scumbag.
He comes back to town mm-hmm. and causes some serious issues as the family, like, they don't like him, and as the mom wants them back, and the big brother He's the big brother, and Kyle Chandler mm-hmm. has always sort of looked out for him and has a relationship with him, and Kevin, his other brother, really hates him.
Mm-hmm.
And
Ben Mendelsohn, man, he's great.
He is great
on this show.
Yeah,
he's
and basically stuff starts happening. There's some flashbacks and stuff that's going on, and flash forwards, and they jump around a bit.
Well, the funny thing is like I was watching it and I saw the creators. I'm like, why do I know those names? Oh yeah. And with the way they do the flashback stuff,
yeah.
straight up damages.
I've heard a lot of people compare this to Damages.
And while I love the flashback, you know, where they do the flash forward and then you have the flashbacks where it's leading up to the event that you see at the end of like episode one or in the middle of episode one.
Mm.
I always like that technique because then it's like, how does this get from here to here. I like the premise of it. It's like, okay, Black Sheep comes back. What is he bringing back? Is something following him down here?
Or and is he just kind of opens up a bunch of other family secrets.
Right.
It seems.
Which actually, I only watched the first, like, basically one and like three-fourths of the second episode.
Yeah.
And there was like a little thing about, spoilers about the collarbone thing.
Yeah.
Where you see the chase. I was like, ooh, okay.
But Danny looks like he might have been abused by
Yeah, that looks interesting.
There's a lot of stuff going on. And it keeps going on. Like it starts getting into like, it's into sort of, you know, injury murder type stuff. It is not just like family drama. It is serious, dark secrets going on.
Very dark.
And the interesting thing for me is like, I usually need a little more crime in my drama.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that the family stuff between them was really good. The scenes, the writing is really good. The character interaction is really good. I loved that first episode. I think the atmosphere, it's beautifully shot. Like, it looks great.
Just how they have this background of a party, and yet there's such menacing undercurrents of like resentment. Well, and
there's tension the whole time.
It reminds me straight up of like The Affair. Because it's something, it's a very interesting thing because when I was touring around a lot in the 90s, we'd go and play beach places or resort areas, right?
Yeah.
And resort areas, it's funny because you go and visit them and then you leave. But if you're there for a long time, like I was there for like 3 weeks one summer.
Yeah.
And it was the end of the summer. And you kind of see like the whole world of the locals. And the locals, you usually have like a family that runs the whole thing. And so the island or the small community knows the family. And then you got people running to get away from stuff.
Yeah.
So they go to these islands to kind of hide. And so there's all these really weird, creepy things in it. So I actually, the setting of it, I love because I can relate to it. Because I did some really creepy stuff at, you know, in Ocracoke Island back in the day that was really real and like murder and stuff like that. But so I like that.
Robert Durst, is he there?
You know what? I'll tell you. But the only thing that kind of was a little off put a little bit is like, for some reason, the siblings aren't meshing for me.
Really?
And I don't know. I think because.
You mean they're not like you don't buy their interactions or you're not buying them as
people? Yeah, like the interactions.
Or?
It's a, and it, I don't know if it, I mean, I just watched it today, so I got to let it sit for a little bit too. But it wasn't as instantly connective as, like, say, Transparent, like the way those siblings were.
No, I agree. It,
you know what I mean?
Here's the thing. I watched it and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But I felt like, was that a 2-hour premiere? And it wasn't.
Yeah. It was
an hour.
Very long.
It seems, and it feels long.
The pacing's a little long.
Well, like, okay, the relationship between Sam Shepard and Sissy Spacek, I think I, maybe because they've worked together, together before.
I think
and,
they must have,
and so there's like a real thing where you can say, okay, I can see these guys being married. And I can see Kyle Chandler being part of it. And the other, and I, like maybe Kyle and Danny.
Yeah.
But
like,
the other
I do
two,
like their dynamic. And I think it's that the youngest brother, he's a little bit of a caricature.
Yeah.
And in his hot headedness.
He's throwing me off.
Yeah. And it's like him coupled with Kyle Chandler being this good, like just really pure good guy.
But he's not.
Well, yeah.
No, he's not.
As we get on, we know he's less not. Of that, and I think that's interesting.
Right.
Yeah, but initially that's kind of like the juxtaposition, I guess.
Yeah.
Like he's going to be the one who's going to say this, of course, in the conversation.
Yeah.
And then the goofy down on his luck, oldest brother.
Right. Yeah.
Danny. It's just like when you kind of see those things.
Yeah.
And you know what? There's another weird.
You just know where it's going.
There was another show that kind of played on that, like it was a good brother, but then the other brother was like, everybody thought the other brother was this way, but it was a good brother who was actually like the dirty guy.
Yeah.
And that was weirdly enough Tyrant, which why he got really good, and it's coming back this summer. But it's like you had the goody two shoes brother, but he was actually the guy who actually did all the bad stuff. That's why he left.
Yeah.
You know, and I do like that setup of like it's almost like Michael Corleone. It's funny because the other thing is that reminded me of The Godfather, where they, you know, the dance scene, like in Godfather 2, it opens up with a dance scene and Fredo, the messed up brother, brings the drunk woman.
Yeah.
And so and then Danny brings his drunk girlfriend.
His drunk girlfriend, yeah.
And then he's watching, he goes, I got her under control. It was very Godfather. That's where I think when you're saying about how beautifully it was shot, I really enjoyed that. Like they're playing homage to things I like and they're setting it up and I can relate to it. And you know, you can see like if Kyle Chandler is like the Michael Corleone, he tried staying straight, but then when he goes bad, he's efficient and deadly. You don't want to mess with this guy bad.
You know, I'll say this. It also reminds me of kind of what I liked about Rectify.
Yes.
The family drama and that kind of stuff.
Yes.
But Rectify is really good at the slow burn storytelling. Mm-hmm. I do think the Bloodline's biggest problem is its pacing.
Yeah.
So far.
And the twists and turns are good, and I want to know it, but it's like they're not giving me enough. Like, I want to know what's going on, and it's taking a long time to tell me.
And it's not snappy because Damages, at least the first three seasons of Damages, was very snappy. Like, bam, 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 bam. They kind of sucked you in. It might have been because I thought that cast overall was better. Yeah. I mean, you had Glenn Close and
engrossing.
That's it. Yeah. I am really enjoying it. And I'm definitely going to watch.
Well,
more
I'm
episodes.
Sucked in.
I mean, I'm going to finish it.
Yeah,
the atmosphere, I think, is really on point.
That's what's going to get me.
Like, you really feel like you're out there in this kind of swampy but tropical area.
Yeah,
There's something Mystic River about it. You guys ever see that movie?
No, yeah, I love Mystic River.
And I think it's also just kind of melding in with this like secrets behind the doors of these families and childhood trauma and kind of stuff
and
like that.
The family stress stuff. I mean, if you're someone who's had a lot of family drama, this is going to be a little triggering for you because it's very real.
It is very. Yes, my mom's gone through a lot of that stuff, and I think that's what I mean. What I was saying, you know, the downsides aside, it's going to keep me posted because I can relate to a lot of this on a lot of levels.
Yeah.
Yeah, very interesting.
I like it. I'm looking forward to catching the rest of it.
Yeah, so we might have to check in as soon as we all finish it up.
Yeah.
All right, the next one we want to talk about is The Americans.
Yes.
Now, you guys are current, so I'm going to let you guys
current, and also, we've always been the ones who love this show.
Yeah.
And I love it more and more with every passing episode.
So
how many episodes are left?
They have...
Three or four?
Not very many.
Two or three.
They start about the same time as Justified.
Yeah. So probably two, just like Justified.
And they just got renewed for a fourth season.
Which
is great.
Yes.
Because the ratings have not been great.
Yeah.
But FX seems to know this is a show they want to let it run its course.
You have to, because it's too good. It's
so
too good.
I marathoned 8 episodes in about 3 days.
I can't believe you were that far behind.
Far behind, and I love the show. I just kind of like, I was like, you know what? I'd rather watch it in chunks, and I'm glad I did because the stories hold together really well. Mm-hmm. So the first one back for me was Baggage.
Yeah, okay.
Which is the one that opens with them putting the woman in the suitcase.
That's always...
I mean, how many great sequences did they have throughout this?
You know,
there was the dental scene.
There is... They do, again... this is the only show on TV that is kind of conventional with, like, okay, they're spies and they're back and forth. But each show always has a scene I've never seen on television before.
Well, Phillip's whole thing recruiting a teenage girl and basically seducing a teenage girl.
And now
when they show his sexual training...
Right, that whole that was just wow.
Yeah, you're like, and suddenly this door opens, like, holy shit, this guy's been going this whole time.
Old men, old women, young, you know. I mean, he did all that stuff, which was just, and it was beautifully shot, and the way it showed up was great, and just how he knows, like, this is fucked up. I can't do this, and you want me to do this, and and at the same time, he's got his daughter that they're trying to recruit
Kimmy is almost a surrogate daughter for him, and he's having to seduce her, and that's going to be bringing all kinds of shit up. And he's fighting with Elizabeth over what they're going to do with Paige.
But then he pulls something out of the Paige playbook.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't sleep with you because of I'm religion. Jesus. Yeah. And I thought that was brilliant the way it kind of tied the way his mind is thinking all into that all together to kind of get him out of a jam.
When they kind of showed his backstory though of like him going through the training and just having to sleep with all sorts of walks of life.
Yeah.
Men, women, old, young. And it was just like, that was such an eye-opening reminder of like how they're groomed into something that's so terrible.
Yeah.
And why he's reticent for Paige to kind of follow in those footsteps.
I also thought the old cool spy craft is a lot of what I love about the show. Yeah. The wigs, the disguises. Yes. But that car chase.
Yes.
Where they were tailing her and Elizabeth wasn't sure she was being tailed.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And she almost got caught.
Yeah.
That was a great sequence.
I gotta say, was it last week? Or was it a week? No, the week before last.
Mm-hmm.
Where they
the stuff with Martha and Clark? No,
it's all the same stuff. But when they finally got the South African dissident guy,
the tire fire thing.
Okay,
wow, yeah.
Okay, I actually watched a little bit of that ISIS thing.
Yeah,
which is I don't know why.
Yeah,
it's terrible. So every time I see stuff like that, it just freaks me out.
Yeah,
that is. I was like, and again.
It was an 80s South African thing. Yeah.
They were talking about this shit in the news and how nasty it is. And in America's, we'll put it on TV.
Yep.
It's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, it was,
They will go there.
This is pretty much,
I mean, this could easily be on pay cable.
Yeah.
It is very in your face. It is very disturbing and dark.
And they don't even have to have the violence.
Yeah.
Because my favorite scene, I was kind of alluding to it last week off mic, but my favorite scene is the one between Elizabeth. Okay, well, actually, you got to go back to Martha's been found, or they found the pen.
The pen. And they found her whole freak out, and that was really awful for her. I feel bad for Martha.
What would you do if this guy said he's from the FBI? Like,
she's all in at this point. She knows. She knows because the guy who comes in says that he's from the OPR, which is what he told her.
Right.
So she knows he's lying.
Right. But she's all in anyway.
I mean, she doesn't know he's a Russian spy.
Right.
But she knows there's some shit going down.
Right.
And she's decided that she loves him.
Right.
And he says he loves her. Of course, he's lying. I mean, I think he does love her somewhat.
He has feelings for her. Yeah, just like Elizabeth. And that's, again, why this thing is so great. It's okay you'd have feelings for her. I mean, but then she feels like, okay, I know this is your job, you have feelings for her. But she's like, wait, but I'm your wife. And so now, you know what I thought he was going to do?
What's that?
I thought, and I still want, it kind of ended with that phone call where, because they were looking, she wanted to get a kid.
Yeah.
And he's like, and that would have been like, oh, I can't do that.
Yeah.
But then I thought maybe to keep her not from telling, keep the relationship going, that he'd have to do that.
The whole background thing with getting a kid, he'd be screwed.
Well,
she'd have to admit to being married, kinds. So I got two questions.
Yeah.
What do you think about the Nina story? Is it a distraction? Does it belong there? Because I mostly like it, but it is sort of off to the side or anything.
I don't like any of the Russians.
I love all the Russians.
I never like them.
Yeah, that's right. You don't like the Resident Tura stuff either.
Yeah, yeah, I love that stuff.
And I'm still a little
I love
that
it.
Stuff too.
I love Nina. I mean, I just think I want to read some more about those actors, just those great Russian actors, how good they are. It's just, I love it.
The other question,
Stan
Beeman stuff. Does Stan still belong in the show?
Yes.
What about you, Grant?
I mean, if he does belong, they need to show us why. They need to bring him back in as a player because he is just kind of, he's just kind of, like, I don't know, he's It's boring.
You don't care about his personal life.
I do not care. I care
about
bit.
What about the dissident thing that he's following? Where he thinks she's a spy. That sort of
that was great.
That thematically ties in a lot.
That was. That's why I think.
Wait, what dissident thing?
The dissident who's visiting. Who he's protecting.
Right.
Oh, geez. They stopped that for two or three episodes.
They brought it back, and then
there is a lot going on. They are juggling a lot.
Because
of stories.
he's dealing the thing with his Russian counterpart.
Yeah.
Where they set her up and all that, and I love the way you know. That, like, yeah, you didn't mind hitting me that hard. And he starts laughing, you know?
I think it's interesting for the main couple. Yeah. And the other storylines are all kind of floundering to find some sort of grip.
See, and I am on board 100% for this
whole
thing.
And I think maybe it just hits a sweet spot it might just be the age. I mean,
it's not just Grant, because I've heard many people saying that they thought that the Nina stuff and the Stan stuff doesn't belong. It's side stories, and I think that's a legit reaction.
It is.
But I think thematically it feeds into it.
Yeah, and so I'm all born on it.
It's one of those where I assume it's going someplace.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I've assumed that about some other shows, and then it just kind of, it's that they don't have anything for that B plot, and so they're just kind of spinning their wheels.
Well, you're ready to fast forward through that stuff, basically.
Well, the reason
I don't, but you're ready to. Would.
Well, you know what? The reason why I'm trusting them is because last season with the whole murder plot, and the way they capped that off with the murder plot, I thought was genius, and I didn't see coming.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of like, okay, so I'm willing to trust that they're keeping the minor characters alive.
Yeah.
For the big payoff at the end.
I also like the page recruitment story that's going on because they're playing that slow.
Yes.
Instead of like, she finds out and now they're going to make a decision.
Yeah.
She's slowly being recruited. She's working her just like she'd work a regular asset.
Right.
And I think that's really interesting.
And Helena and I were having a conversation like, okay, well, when she does find out, do you think she'll be all in or she'll be disgusted? I'm at a point where I think she'll be all in.
Yeah,
I think
they're working it really slow.
Yeah,
and they're trying her revealing her activist past, and Elizabeth is figuring out what she likes and is using that to try and point out like, no, that's what we do, and
all this
activism you do. I was an activist.
Right.
I want to see Philip make a more active role in fighting that.
Well, yeah. I think
we've seen little glimmers here and there,
but he's been kept busy, and then he's got that son who's in Afghanistan that he's trying to get out.
Oh, by the way, their guy, it's not Martin Landau. I keep thinking it's Martin Landau, but it's who's their guy who's playing Gabriel?
Oh, man, that actor! Come on,
yeah, he's great.
Oh,
and
Nixon and Frost Nixon.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. He's like
trying to find Gabriel.
Frank Langella.
He is great, and I love the sort of mind game that he plays with Phillips. Basically, he brings up his son, to sort of throw his head so that he'll keep us out of the game because he knows Philip is opposing the thing with Paige.
Yeah. Well, they've all.
And so he's putting other things on him so that he can't think about it.
And they all know that Philip is the one who would have quit. Who wants to
Philip,
quit?
The actor who plays Philip, Reese.
Michael Reese, yes.
Matthew Reese. He said in an interview that. In his mind, Philip would defect in a heartbeat.
Of course.
If Elizabeth came to him and said, let's defect, he'd be like...
He wanted to do it in season one.
Yeah.
So
that's really interesting. He's doing the work mostly to keep his family together.
Right. Which, again, why this show is so deep. He really kind of doesn't like doing the work, but he knows this is what he's loyal, and he's a good worker. And the thing is like, he doesn't know how to get out. There's no line for him to get out,
right.
and without destroying his family. And now with all the other entanglements, and I think the Martha thing is really going to come to a head.
Yeah,
and I think it's going to push him. That and I mean, could you imagine this guy having to be with Martha, then try to seduce a teenage girl, and then be with your wife?
He's got a lot of stuff going on.
I mean, that's a lot of balls to juggle, man.
So I have a question. I know Grant's answer, but I'm curious. Greg, if you had to choose one or the other. Justified or the Americans?
Oh, man.
One ranks higher right now?
Justified.
Final season of Justified.
This final season is awesome.
And it is great. But final season of Justified, this current season of Americans, if you had to pick one.
You know, I don't know because...
No, that's not an answer, dude.
I know.
Cheating answer.
Well,
there's no real ramifications on your choice. We're not going to take one away.
No, I'm going to take one away.
I know. If I go scene by scene... But see, it's not fair because... Justifies in their final season.
What are you doing, Greg? Pick one.
I'm equivocating because I don't know.
My answer, Justified. As I love the Americans, I still
Think
it's Justified.
The only reason why I got to go with Justified is just because of the of all the history I've built up on it. But
this is one of the best seasons of Justified.
But for you and me, I'd say that Americans is a close second.
Well, because of that scene, the scene we didn't even get to last week's, which was the scene. Okay, when Martha's when the Penns found out. And the office is kind of in lockdown. And then Stan does something stupid and hits the machine.
Yeah.
So the machine's got to get fixed. So then they're...
Not Stan. Agent God.
Agent God, yeah. He kicks the machine. So then it's got to go get fixed. And so the Russian handler guy says, listen, you guys go get put a bug in there.
Yeah.
So they go put the bug in. This is something mundane. It's like, okay.
It's
you
an
know,
easy job. They don't even wear wigs.
But then comes... what's her name?
Elizabeth. Killing me.
Elizabeth stumbles into, is trying to make sure everything's clean. She's the whole place is clear. Stumbles in to the office.
A lady is working there.
And finds a lady. And
that whole plays out is just a great
scene,
sequence. Yeah.
And that's why I was thinking about Americans Against Justified. I'm thinking about all the great scenes with Raylan and Boyd.
Yeah.
And Sam and, Markham. But compared to that scene and where they went and the way the actress, I mean, even the way the actress finally goes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which freaked me out because it looked so real. I'm like, oh my God, she really having a heart. I mean, it was just, and just how sad Elizabeth is and how it gets to her and just all the points to hit about kids, family, the whole story, the thing, please don't do this to my son. Yeah. You had to promise me that you won't kill, I was mesmerized. I watched it like 3 times.
Yeah.
And that, and it was
Americans is great TV. Season 3 is the strongest season they've done.
Yeah, psychological damage that they do is awesome. Yep. But Justified has to get it because I love Boyd.
All right, what else we got, Grant?
All right, guys. So I want to move over and talk about iZombie. And I mean, Randy wanted to talk about
it. iZombie. I, Randy, am watching iZombie. iRobot.
I haven't checked this out yet.
What is it on? I don't even know what's on.
It's on CW.
Oh, okay.
And here's the thing. I actually, I really love this show.
Really?
Okay. 2 episodes in, I love this show. It is very Veronica Mars. It's Rob Thomas and Diane Ruggiero who ran Veronica Mars. It's a spunky young girl who investigates crimes.
Mm-hmm.
She's in her 20s instead of her teens, but she was a promising medical student. She got turned into a zombie, and now she eats brains.
That happens.
Because she works in the medical examiner's office. She threw away her whole career because she had to work in the ME's office because she needed access to brains.
Mm-hmm.
And when she eats the brains, she gets flashes of their lives and who killed them, and then she's helping a detective solve the crimes.
So they know she's a zombie.
She's pretending to be a psychic.
Okay.
The guy she works with in the office figures out who she is quickly, and he's hilarious because he's okay with it, and he's like the head ME.
Okay,
and he's really funny, and he sort of covers for her, and he's the guy who gives her the psychic cover with the cop, and it's basically her dealing with having given up her she's had to give up her fiance because she's worried about giving him zombieism. And if she doesn't eat brains, she will turn into a full-on zombie. Like, she will go feral and kill people.
So are there other zombies in this world?
Yes.
Okay.
There's another. She thought she was the only one who survived this outbreak. It was on a boat. It was a boat party.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a guy who shows up, played by David Anders, Sark from Alias, who is sort of a moral guy, and he's the guy who basically scratched her and turned into a zombie.
Mm-hmm.
And he shows up, and he's sort of a picture into a larger world. There's going to be sort of a mythology here with what the zombie is. She's basically worried about the zombie apocalypse starting with her.
Hmm.
You know, she's worried about becoming a part of a zombie apocalypse, but she's also sort of trying to live her life as she can, eating brains and trying to still be out there as much as she can. And it's really interesting. It's really funny. It's got the same voiceover, cadence that Veronica Mars did.
Mm-hmm.
It's got clever crimes. It's going to be one of these fun shows for guest stars because they can do the crime of the week.
Right.
And they've also, like I said, they got the mythology of her, what does it mean to be a zombie in this particular world?
Do they have the werewolves and the other things?
They did not do the were-terror. They did not do the ghost. Uh-huh. Actually, this has nothing to do with the comic except that her name is Liv and she's a zombie who eats brains.
Oh.
There is nothing. They completely ignored the comic, which is probably for the best. I think the comic would have been hard to transition to TV.
I wonder if maybe they'll eventually introduce that into the scene.
Maybe. I've seen interviews with Rob Thomas where he said it just wasn't feasible to do the were-terror and the ghost at the same time. It's more special effects.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different world then, and they want to focus on sort of this one thing.
Hmm.
So I'm really liking it. It is not what I expected, but I've been really enjoying it. It is actually one of my favorite new shows. Okay. So I definitely recommend it. Whether you've read the comic or not, I read the comic and wasn't crazy about it, so I didn't have a particular attachment, but I know what it was. And I don't think you need to have read the comic at all to see it, because it's really just basing it off that. This is a wholly original story basing on this basic current premise of, what if you got bitten, turned into a zombie, but you weren't like a Gar eating brain zombie, you actually still had some faculties left.
Dead.
Yes.
Season 5 has come to its conclusion. Yep. And this is the first full season run by Scott Gimple, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
He came in halfway through season 4, right? Right.
I believe that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. What'd you guys think of that finale?
I thought it was a really good finale. And I was down on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when they came back season 5, they killed off Tyree, spoilers. Mm-hmm. And I was pissed. I thought it was badly done. I thought it was a waste of a good actor.
I don't think you can just say spoilers willy-nilly after you say it. I'll give you credit there.
Fair enough. I thought it was weak. And then the episode after that, I wasn't crazy about. And I was like, oh, am I done? Did it fall off the wagon for me again? And then slowly but surely, as they got the Alexandria story, I started liking it more.
The Alexandria story is actually really great.
They're doing a great job of it.
Yeah.
We know so much about these characters, and them coming into sort of an idealistic society and finding their place, and, like, you know, us kind of rooting for them against what otherwise seems to be an fully operating group is really fascinating.
I read Alan's Sepinwall's review of it, and he pulled out two things that I was thinking when I was watching it that I had a problem with. Mr. Priest.
That guy's a badly written character. Good actor, badly written character.
Badly written character. They find out that he is the one who's kind of ratting the group out to the main lady.
Yeah, because he still feels guilty about getting his whole congregation.
Then he goes out, and he's just walking, ready to get eaten alive. Then he does it, and he miraculously knows how
changes
to kill
his mind. Yep.
Changes his mind. Yep. And then he gets in a fight with What's-Her-Face in the church there. And then Maggie, who overheard him say this thing, just like, oh, let's all pray. It's like, wait a second. Did you forget about that?
That does make sense. Maggie was always presented as very religious.
Yeah.
And it makes sense that she would sort of try to do the forgiveness thing instead of the bashing his head in thing.
I guess, but
I actually thought the resolution of all that was good, but getting to that point was stupid.
Yeah, it was really... I thought it was done awkwardly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't think it was the strongest storyline at all in the episode. No. It was probably one of the weaker ones, but I thought there was something kind of interesting about... How, I mean, he's a broken guy.
Well, I get that, yeah.
And it kind of paralleled a lot of what Tyrese was going through.
Yeah.
About this guilt. His is a little bit different, I suppose, because he kind of betrayed a bunch of people.
And it's also done, so.
Yeah.
Tyrese's. So.
But I thought that I'm glad they kind of explored it in this way, and that he kind of went out there to get killed.
Yeah.
He ended up finding the nerve to try and survive, and now he at least has a little bit better frame of reference of fighting against these, because that was the first I think he's actually killed one.
Right, exactly. Right. And that goes against the whole they kill black people off narrative.
Well, that is true.
We got two of them now.
Sasha, they still have Michonne.
Yeah, so it's like, okay.
And they just brought back Morgan.
Right, who
Lenny I James? Love. That was my favorite part.
Well, all that stuff.
My favorite part was seeing him as sort of a wandering monk,
yeah,
with his staff,
yeah,
and sort of talking down the wolves,
yeah,
who I'm really intrigued by because I haven't gotten to the wolves in the comics.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't know what that storyline.
Those
is
guys
at all.
Look like those guys,
and,
look
and I like where they're going with that. It seems like a different take on, yeah, the Terminus type guys.
Apparently
and all
this. Crazy and also MacGyver.
Yeah.
Oh, that zombie trap was, yeah, great.
It was, yeah, a killer zombie trap.
My favorite part of the show, though, my favorite part of the finale was Carol and Rick talking about, well, here's what we'll do. We'll take hostages. Right. We'll just take this place. I liked that they were basically the bad guys.
No, I love Carol.
They're like, we're going to take this place over because fuck these people.
Yeah.
I love,
yeah,
Carol. It makes sense.
Oh, I love Carol.
She keeps like trying to play it like, oh, I thought that was shocking too.
I love her playing housemaker.
But
yeah,
the thing is, and this is funny if you think about the psychology of her, who's somebody who started off basically as the oppressed woman.
She was abused.
Woman,
yeah,
abused
was...
woman. Now kind of becoming the abuser.
When, yeah, she goes up to the abusive husband and, oh, holds, yeah, the knife to, yeah, his chin.
Oh, that was,
or
great.
The kid.
And just like seeing the like how little she is in comparison to that, yeah, guy. It was just...
But he was terrified because she was going to kill him.
Yeah.
But, well, and he was basically telling him, look, I can kill you and nobody's going to say anything because I'll just say
she
you
was just so
me.
Calm about it.
Yeah.
It's so
and
great.
Yeah. And then
best character,
I mean,
on the show now.
Yeah, she's, yeah, the best character on the show.
Well, when she scared the kid,
yeah,
it was like,
yeah,
you know, she's like, okay, she's made that turn. I like seeing her. I she's my favorite character.
She's
too,
sort of sociopathic
because she's
point,
a sociopath,
yeah,
which knowing her backstory makes sense. So, yeah, that's those are the type of threads for the show where I start thinking about when I see the reactions when all the characters get involved in stuff.
Yeah,
that. If it makes sense based on what they've done in the past, then I really like it. Like Rick trying to be good, trying, and this cannot stand. I mean, domestic abuse is something that drives me nuts too. And I think any reasonable person drives nuts, and the way he tries to handle it. But then he's just like, listen, lady, when he's talking to the leader of,
yeah, yeah,
yeah, of the place, like, lady,
Deanna,
come on,
or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, Deanna. Who, yeah, I also like a lot.
Yeah, get your head out of your ass. This is the way the world is.
You're gonna have to kill him.
You, yeah, gotta have to kill
him. It was an awkward place to also try and get,
yeah,
preachy.
Yeah.
After,
yeah,
a knockdown drag out in the,
yeah,
middle of the street.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing. He had gone crazy, regardless, yeah, of what he needed to do. He did it.
It kind of reminded me of Deadwood.
Yes.
The, yeah, knockdown drag out, yeah, and then go and pontificate on, yeah, some, yeah, larger issue.
Which I like that stuff. And what keeps me really with the show is just that human story of like, how do you actually function every day with this, with these threats and the pressure,
yeah,
and then the pressure of like, you don't know when you meet somebody if they're going to eat you or kill you or do whatever. And I love, that's the thing that drives me for the show.
Yeah. I thought there were some plot controversies here. The,
yeah,
them leaving the gate open for the zombies.
That was ridiculous.
Stupid.
That was ridiculous.
Yeah. Like, why did they do it? Because they needed Rick to kill some zombies.
Well, Morgan doing it, or not Morgan.
Glenn?
No, Glenn.
The new guy.
The preacher guy.
Yeah.
The preacher,
yeah,
guy is the one who left it open.
But the other guy left it open.
The other guy just left for what reason? Did
for
he
the
leave?
Meeting, didn't it? Wasn't,
yeah,
it?
But that was stupid. Like, hey, I'm going to go to the meeting. I got to go right now. Can you watch the gate? Like, no, close the gate
was,
and go to the meeting. There's not a fire.
And then why did...
Yeah, it was dumb.
And then why did Glenn follow homeboy out there?
I don't know. So that they can have a fight.
See, I'm so conflicted about Glenn, because Glenn is kind of the heart of the show.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
I like that he keeps trying to give this guy a chance, and he's there about to make the. If it was Rick, Rick would have, yeah, shot that guy in a heartbeat.
Would have shot him in a heartbeat.
Yeah, yeah, but Glenn tries to retain that element
humanity.
Of his humanity.
Yeah,
and
but that does not pay in the world of The Walking Dead.
No, but. It doesn't make sense with what Glenn went through.
Yeah,
for him to not shot that guy.
Yeah,
yeah. You
at
know
that
what?
Point, that guy tried to kill him so many times. He let him out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is one of the
him.
Yeah, and that's one of the character knowing his background. Like, wait, after being tortured, after all,
yeah,
the shit, after them torturing the love of his life,
yeah,
he's still going to spare this dude who all obviously wants to kill him.
Yeah, and the other thing is like,
it seemed a little
honestly,
sloppy. I think,
yeah,
they need a little bit more work.
They should have killed him when he killed
that.
Noah.
Yeah, of course.
Because it was inconvenient for them to bring him back because he was, yeah, going to screw up the story.
But that's usually what they did.
Yeah.
But back in the past, that's what,
yeah,
they did all the time.
Yeah.
You know, they would kill the extra guy that was the wild card that you couldn't trust, and,
yeah,
it would kill him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that, I,
yeah,
don't know, maybe
there's a few things where things don't happen because, not because of the characters, but because of the plot.
Yeah.
And you can always see that kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, I guess with Glenn, they've tried to hit on it a couple times,
yeah,
that, mm, he's the one who keeps trying to pull Rick back to,
yeah,
to humanity and be like,
right,
you can't just kill everyone,
yeah,
which is all the more reason why I thought it was such a great end note,
yes,
for the abusive husband to come kill the husband of Deanna.
Yeah.
And she's like, Rick, do it.
Yeah.
And on a gun. Yeah. Oh, man.
And then Morgan shows up. He's like, Rick?
Hey, man.
That was great. Because last time, yeah. Morgan was the one who was all fucked up when Rick found him last
time.
Right.
And now their places have switched.
Yes. Yeah.
But do you think Rick is fucked up?
No, I think he was right to do it.
But the context
that comes across, it's like he just saw him executing a dude.
But Rick...
First time he's seen it in months.
But okay.
And in his mind, Rick Grimes was the great leader the world needed. And he's coming to him, and all of a sudden he sees him executing a dude. That's gotta be going to be problematic.
It's not just executing the dude. It's like Rick is never... Out of the whole series, except for the beginning and just brief time in wherever they're, what's the thing called where they're at? Alexandria.
Alexandria.
He's never clean.
Yeah.
So he's clean.
No, it's true.
So Morgan comes and sees.
He always looks like a date. Yeah.
He's got this crazed look. He just shot some guy
in the face.
He's covered in blood.
He looks feral.
He always looks feral.
Yeah.
Which I always like. I mean, Andrew Lincoln.
Yeah.
Has the best feral look of any actor all the time.
Andrew Lincoln cleans up. He was one of the romantic leads in Love Actually.
No, he's a great actor.
And it's funny to see him be the dirty guy all the time.
Yeah.
I think that the other issue when you're talking about plot contrivances is that the zombies are so inconsistently a
menace.
Sometimes
they're stealth zombies.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's a group and you can get away from them.
Yeah, when they were locked in the car.
Yeah.
And then it just takes Morgan with a bow staff because all of a sudden he's now like a ninja warrior.
I kind of enjoyed that.
Where did that come from?
Yeah.
But okay, I'll just kind of let that slide.
Yeah.
But they just kind of willy-nilly like weave their way through them.
Because they look doomed.
And yet everywhere else, like there's like one zombie coming at you and you got bit.
Well, and they keep doing this thing. They did it with Tyrese, but it sort of made sense. But Glenn being like surrounded by zombies, and the next time we see him,
he comes out in the dark.
He gets shot in the shoulder. Yeah.
I mean, like, let's not worry about it.
Yeah, and it's like, we wanted to bring him back by surprise, so we don't deal with that. I'm like, okay, you're kind of ruining your zombies here.
Yeah.
However, I did like where Morgan beats the two wolves.
Yeah.
And the guy didn't have I was sure that guy didn't have bullets in his gun, by the way.
I was like, why wouldn't he have shot at him?
Yeah.
Because you don't have bullets.
Morgan knew, too. I think that's why he was so calm about it. He knew that guy wasn't going to shoot him.
Yeah.
But I love that he basically throws him in the car and then honks the horn to call the zombies and leaves.
Yeah. And just a little scene of him like, looking at the palm fresh thing and just snagging that.
Yeah.
That's good.
No, I like the Morgan stuff. I love the reveal of the note with Rick Grimes.
Yeah.
And I was like, I did wonder how they're going to connect that. And then, the look on, Daryl's face is like, holy shit. I do like the adventures of Daryl and the other dude trying to recruit people. Yeah. I do like that.
Aaron, I
do like the show generally. It's definitely got some plot holes.
It's got some flaws. Some
weird flaws, but I'm down with just seeing how people react to these adverse situations.
I think this season has just been so much stronger than all the other seasons.
They
know what they're doing with all of their characters. I think that when they bring in new characters, it's not clunky and awkward, and we have to take a while to kind of acclimate to them.
Yeah.
I mean, Alexandria was a great example. All of the characters they brought in, Deanna and her husband, they've had them in a few little scenes. The goober sons and the fuck up lackey of the one son.
But
people on the wall it's all tight.
You are making a great point because before they, like, when they had the governor, and somebody who didn't read the comic, it was very clunky and very weird.
The governor and, like, who are the other people in that
city?
Who cares? Yeah.
Right. But here I'm not quite sure. Maybe it was the great technique of how Deanna would just interview people and they would play those things over and over again. Mm-hmm. Or just the little pictures or the little couple lines here and there about the...
And the governor was a good actor.
Yeah. Oh, no, he's a great actor. Yeah. No, this is just... It's not a... It's, the acting on this show is great. All the actors are great. It's just sometimes the
not
plot...
Not all, but a lot of them.
Well...
More and more.
They got rid of Rick's wife.
Andrea and some other people.
And actually, and his son has grown into be a pretty good actor.
That said, if they were looking to thin their cast down a bit...
Uh-oh.
I think Abraham, Eugene, Rosita, and Tara could all go, and I wouldn't miss a single one of them.
I feel like Abraham keeps having potential.
Yeah. And they're not doing anything with him.
I mean, we saw a little glimmer when he kind of takes control of the
construction
crew.
That's like the only good moment he's had all season.
Yeah, because, I mean, also that and punching Eugene in the face all over, yeah. until right. like and yeah. like breaking yeah. splitting his skull or whatever. I mean, I was like, that's kind of
awesome. I feel like Eugene has served his purpose, and I definitely feel like Abraham has served his purpose, and like
Eugene more so, I think, for me, because yeah. I think yeah. it's good to have the big muscle
yeah.
that Abraham provides.
Sure.
And nothing good can last.
Yeah.
Alexandria yeah. can't last.
Yeah.
And I think he's a good character to keep around.
Yeah.
Eugene!
Well, I mean, yeah. the way they kind of tied it together with, you know, it kind of way Eugene kind of, well, actually, I'm sorry I did this, but I did bring the best out of you. You know, you did it. So the way he kind of spun it, I was yeah. like, that's pretty clever. I liked that whole scene I liked, so I was like, ah, this clever motherfucker. He's like, yeah, I lied, but hey, look. I knew you could take it. That's essentially what he was yeah. saying. I was like, and then, yeah, Abraham was like, okay, whatever.
Rosie
man.
And the other girl, completely forgettable.
I get them confused all the time.
The yeah. other girl, in fact, I thought they were kind of like making her a little bit interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they just kind of lost her.
Yeah.
I like the chick that's kind of going losing her mind. And has extreme marksmanship. Clearly, she's taken
yeah,
what was
yeah.
Sasha. She's taken the role that Andrea was initially in the comic books.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I really like that. And I think she actually kind of pulls it
They're
off.
They're finally giving her. They had to kill everyone around her. They had to kill her boyfriend. They had to kill her brother. And finally, they've figured out what to do with her now.
Right.
Michonne.
Yeah,
hitting Rick
great.
In the head.
Oh, that's great.
And then yeah. being like, look, I still have your back,
but you
were out of your
own. Yeah, you were out of
control.
I didn't do it for them. I did it for you.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that was, yeah, it was just going to get worse for them.
Love it.
And then, yeah.
Such a good character moment.
Well, when she's like, would you actually think, I wouldn't trust you? You actually think you couldn't trust me? You know,
because yeah.
she's like going to be acclimate. She's going to acclimate to the point where she's going to, you know, kind of, get along to get along, you know what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah.
But then when the shit hits the fan, she knows where what side her bread is buttered on. She's going with Rick
yeah.
and all those people.
Yeah.
They have too much history
yeah.
going together that I don't think you could ever really doubt that bond.
It's just good that us, the audience, got that really reinforced for
yeah.
us.
Yeah.
yeah.
All right, guys. Let's move on to a different type of universe where a lot of humanity's been wiped out. Last Man on Earth.
Yes.
And now, it's funny, you might be the last man standing on this, or you were the last man standing on this. I've never watched it. I was going to catch up on it, but based on the words of Randy, I'm not quite sure I'm going to.
See, I watched the first three episodes
on the show,
and I was actually really digging it. It's just that I keep forgetting to put it on my DVR, so I have to go to Hulu and watch
yeah.
it.
Mm-hmm. They've been double pumping the episodes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what happened is the third episode, spoilers, Melissa shows up, played by January Jones. And
it's so funny.
I was worried about that because January Jones is not somebody I generally like. But it was funny. Like, right after he gets married to Kristen Schaal, this gorgeous woman shows up.
and he really didn't want to marry her.
But the thing is, you haven't seen what happens after this.
Okay.
Basically, it's Phil being a complete idiot and trying to sleep with her and get out of his wedding vows and trying to seem like the good guy, even though he's a douche. And he's awkward and horrible.
Yeah, isn't that what you would expect it to play out as?
Yeah, but it's just they keep hitting the same notes, and I've grown to hate him.
Hmm.
And I don't much like Kristen Schaal either at this point, and I don't much like Melissa. And it's
how many episodes have you watched?
I am on the six
episodes in.
I think that's 4, 5, 6. I gave up on episode 7.
Oh,
ah,
midway through episode 7, I was like, I can't do it anymore because the funny is not funny enough. There's not enough of it.
Mm-hmm.
And someone pointed out when I posted about this on Facebook, someone pointed out that the problem isn't that it's like he's unlikable. It's interesting. A story where a guy is the last human on Earth is really unlikable
right.
is potentially interesting and really funny.
Mm-hmm.
I love It's Always Sunny. I love sort of unlikable characters.
Sure.
But they won't go there. They're not edgy about it. Like, they had this whole apocalypse. There are no bodies.
They still want you to kind of relate. They don't,
yeah.
they don't draw that line mm-hmm. and be like, just hate this
they
guy.
Won't, they won't be like, hey, this is really fucked up, and we know it's fucked up, and isn't it hilarious?
Right.
It's more like a, hey, in this situation, you know, sure, he's a dick, and he's, but it's like, it's they've taken this guy who's really who's really average, below average, really,
mm-hmm.
and they're putting him in situations where, his worst impulses are coming out, and I don't find it funny to watch.
Meddling.
I don't know.
Because I bet like he wants to just take it and down a negative route.
Yeah.
But I bet they're like, we still need marketing wise to keep this guy likable.
Because the thing is,
if fear.
Phil was not the main character, if I wasn't meant to be basically rooting for him,
mm-hmm.
I'd probably enjoy this a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
but he is the main character. And I'm like, do you think I'm supposed to sympathize with this guy at all? Because he's kind of a dick.
See, that's what's interesting. And that's one of those lines between Fox, FX, and FXX now.
Yeah.
It's like, why didn't he put it on FX?
Yeah, the FX version of this I think I would have liked better.
Yeah, because it would have gone there.
Yeah. I don't know. I wanted to like it. I kept trying because I loved those first couple episodes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was great. But it's been going downhill for me ever since. And it finally got to the point where I was just like, this is not worth my time. Hmm. Now, maybe it'll win me back over. Maybe I'll hear it's great and I'll go back and watch the season. But I think I'm done with it.
Wow.
Well, speaking of segues.
Yes. Sure.
Oh, wait. I can do this better.
Wait, speaking, okay.
Speaking of survivors... Community is back, and yes. We haven't addressed this.
Speaking of segways, what did you buy one? Is it you bought a Segway lately? Have you heard of, like, you're riding around town in a Segway.
That's actually a transition to get into Arrested Development.
Yeah, yeah, it would be.
Speaking of segways,
So Community,
yeah.
has launched on Yahoo, and they are releasing it once a week.
Season 6.
I've seen the first two episodes. You've seen the first three.
I've seen the first three.
And what do you think?
I like it, but it definitely does not feel like Community yet.
It is rubbing me the wrong way. It Whoa. Seems like part of it is...
They had to start over again, basically.
They did?
They lost Yvette Nicole Brown, which you wouldn't think was a big deal, but...
They did?
Yeah, she went to... She's doing Odd Couple.
Oh,
so
I didn't know
that. On top of already losing...
And on top of that, like, her dad died, and so she had to move back with him for a bit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So they made mention of it.
Okay. On top of already losing Donald Glover... And already losing Chevy Chase, which is one of those big deal. But I think we didn't feel the loss of Donald Glover as much because Jonathan Banks was so good.
Mm-hmm.
But now they lost Jonathan Banks because he's on Better Call Saul. So basically, they keep losing people and having to replace them.
Yeah, and they don't have John Oliver anymore.
They don't have John Oliver anymore. And the thing is, Padgett Brewster, who they bring in, is great. I like her. I like her character.
I thought that making fun of how forgettable she is was very great.
And Keith David is a fun character. He doesn't get a lot to do in his episode, but in the third episode, he gets a lot to do, and he's fun.
Okay, wait. This always gets me.
Yeah.
Is it the white dude or the black dude?
It's the black dude. Keith David, not David Keith.
Yeah, I've been messing up my whole life. I love Keith.
What's funny
David.
Is I don't know who David Keith is. I don't have him in head, but I know.
David Keith was an Officer and Gentleman.
I've never seen Officer and Gentleman.
You ever saw that?
Nope.
Great movie. It was.
But I know Keith David from a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, having watched the third episode, and I think that is the turning point, they've introduced the two new characters, they've got the status quo, and they're starting to do Community episodes again. But those first two is all putting stuff in front. And they still don't know what to do with Chang, but they still got him.
Mm-hmm.
And they're leaning too heavily on the Dean.
Yeah.
And they don't know what to do with Britta.
Oh.
And even Abed, without Troy, Abed is a very different character. And they don't know what to do with him. And so basically the whole dynamic has changed. Jeff's a teacher now. They're all, instead of being a study group, they're the community group. Basically everything fell apart again and they had to rebuild it. And you can tell they're rebuilding it.
Alison Brie is kind of trying to hold everything together with her kind of leadership and Padgett Brewster being like a foil to her. It was kind of interesting. But
I still found it funny. I still thought there was
funny stuff. There were a couple scenes that I remember like really laughing about.
And I thought the teaser at the end, the surprise return of one of the cast members.
Oh, yeah.
Was fun. I thought that was a fun little nod.
Yeah.
And the teaser at the end of the second one is also pretty funny. I don't remember which one was which, but there were a couple good funny little teaser things at the end.
It just felt weak still.
Yeah.
And I don't know. There's something about the charm of their dynamic. And you're probably very dead on that.
Yeah.
It's that they just have to keep shuffling. But I would still think that there's four or five of the still core people there, and
I think
they should be able to still have some spark.
I think that losing Donald Glover was a bigger deal than we thought, and it was covered over because we had...
I feel like we already thought it was a huge deal.
Yeah. But I think it's because we had Jonathan Banks, who fit in so well, that the loss wasn't felt as strongly.
Right.
Yeah, and Keith David can't.
And Keith David's great, but he's not Jonathan Banks. And the thing is, I do think by the end of the season, they will get to the place they were with season 5, where it was not the strongest, but still fun.
I don't even necessarily think I was feeling Jonathan Banks all that much.
Oh, I love Jonathan Banks on that show.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. His dryness is just hilarious.
I'll say this. Watch episode 3. Because I feel like one and two is sort of arranging stuff. They're getting stuff back.
I'm certainly going to watch all
episode
of it.
Three feels like a stronger. It's still a weaker episode of Community, but it feels like they're finally starting to get their groove back, and they do. It feels more like an episode of Community.
It's just I think of this, and we keep bringing it up. Justified.
Yeah.
I think of Justified's final season, and this being theirs, I guess their final season,
maybe
presumably.
Yeah.
And Justified is just knocking it out of the park.
Yeah, but Justified has the same core cast. It's been around. Like I always say with Justified, go watch the first episode.
People keep dying.
No, yeah, well, they die.
But
they
still got Boyd, Raylan, Art,
and
Sniper
actually,
Marshall.
Well, Tim.
Tim, we never remember his name.
No, Tim. Tim is like my favorite. I want to see a spinoff character with just Tim.
Yeah, I'd love to see Tim.
Him and just giving dry one-liners. And
oh, what was that nerdy
Rachel.
Reference he made in his last week episode?
Oh, yeah.
And Raylan's like, what?
I've been to Moria, but not the mines.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, what are you talking about?
You go, Tim.
Yeah.
And he's like, what did you say? Oh, nothing, never mind.
Yeah.
But so how many episodes are they having of the new Community?
13?
I think it's 10.
Is it 10? Maybe 10 is it season.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's not Community at its best, but I still think it's worth watching.
Okay.
I'll catch up on it. I mean,
I'd rather watch this than Last Man on Earth.
Ah, there you go.
Well, yeah, you're done with that one.
Yeah.
Well, see, it's funny because I can actually, because it's only a half an hour, right? It's only half an hour. So
yeah,
I can watch it like after school and stuff while I'm in the room.
All right, folks, here we go. We talked a lot of stuff today.
We did.
And this is
April showers.
And
April
this is the beginning of the showers. Because
the next time
HBO. We get together.
Jones, Mad Men, Louie,
Silicon Valley.
Lip Sync Battle?
I'm
actually looking forward to Lip Sync Battle on Spike TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's Jimmy Fallon's show.
Orphan Black comes back. I mean, it's a lot of stuff coming back in April.
Amy Schumer actually is very soon, too, I think.
And the NBA playoffs. Oh, you guys won't care about that.
Nope.
No. All right, guys. Please, once again, go to iTunes. Give us those 5-star ratings and reviews. We'll read them here on the show. Also, while you're at it, go like us on Facebook and on Twitter. Stay tuned. Kick us some comments on the site. And until next week,
Diva Dudes out.
Just begun to get our shit.